The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to a William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast. It's The Punt. It's Dave Kellner here in the studio with Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern on the line to look ahead to 10 Premier League matches this weekend. Five of them televised, and let's get straight stuck into the televised matches, and we'll start with Newcastle versus Chelsea, which is the first match this weekend, 12:45 p.m. kickoff. Newcastle 6-1, the draw 11-4, Chelsea 8-15. Derek, I appear to have dispensed with the formalities here.
Yeah, where's the point, Chris?
I mean, I've hung up in disgust. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Lee. How
yeah,
are you?
No time for that. It's all about cold, hard betting today. Don't worry about saying hello. It's fine.
It's the first time ever the podcast has been about cold, hard betting ever. But it is this weekend.
It won't catch on.
Let's start with Newcastle versus Chelsea then. 12:45 p.m. kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Newcastle 6-1, the draw 11-4, Chelsea 8-15. Derek, Newcastle's run had to come to an end, and it has done. Ended with that draw at Burnley, followed by the loss at Upton Park. That was last weekend. And they're in a sticky patch in terms of injuries at the moment, with Colaccini out. That's been a big loss for Newcastle. They do welcome back Jack Colback and Moussa Sissoko, who return after that suspension. But Colaccini, I think, is a big loss for Newcastle.
It was a massive loss. I mean, you know, he's in a way, he's the Luis Suarez of Newcastle without the goals. That's how important he is. So don't ask any Geordie fan, and I'll say the same thing. You've got to say that Newcastle are meeting Chelsea at the wrong time, i.e. with Alan Pardew as manager. Mike Ashley's been rewarded for standing by Pardew. But have you seen the size of Ashley? He stands by everyone. I've got to say that I think Chelsea will win. I know they came a cropper in the North East last week, but they were a bit short. I think they were 2-5 then, and obviously they're going to be a bit longer to beat Newcastle because of the respective positions in the league. But I think Newcastle are pretty much where they are. You know, they're playing now pretty much what they are in my eyes. A side that aren't going to be picking up many points from any two games in succession, and they ain't going to be picking up any here. I think, you know, the Chelsea win, they actually swatted Tottenham aside in midweek, didn't they? And I expect them to do the same to Newcastle. I know 8-15 away from home in the Premier League, it's not something you take easily, but I can't see any other result. Chelsea to win 2-0, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Chelsea to win the match is 8-15. If you're looking for Chelsea to win the match to nil, 13-10, Chelsea to win the match to nil. Lee, for stats fans, Chelsea unbeaten in 23 in all competitions now. They've never gone 24 in all competitive matches in a row without defeat. Jose Mourinho's not got that strong a record either at St James's Park. Drawn 2, lost 2 in his last 4 visits with Chelsea to Newcastle.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Newcastle and their fans, probably the first time ever they want to try and copy what Sunderland did, won't it? Because, you know, they showed the blueprint for holding Chelsea. It's obviously always very difficult to beat them. I mean, I said last week that 8-1 was a bit big for Sunderland. I don't think either of you agreed with me. But obviously that kind of price gives you a bit of insurance, doesn't it? So you can go on the handicaps. And I mean, Newcastle are always going to be shorter than Sunderland at home because, you know, they're deemed to be a better side and obviously they're higher up in the table. I mean, the plus one here for Newcastle is 29-20 plus 2, 4-9. It's just a bit short, to be honest with you. But I can see them adopting the same sort of tactics. You know, the run has ended, but the home run hasn't ended. You know, they're unbeaten at St James's Park in the Premier League since the first game of the season when they were beaten 2-0 by Manchester City. 3-3 against Palace, 2-2 Hull, not particularly great. And they won the last three, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0 against Leicester, Liverpool and QPR. Obviously, Chelsea are a much better side than any of those three and probably better than anyone else. Do you know what I'm going to do? I think that's what Newcastle will do, though. I think they will set up to try and thwart Chelsea, and I think they'll almost get away with it. I think Chelsea won't make the same mistake twice. Jose Mourinho is not the kind of manager who would watch his team fail to break down Sunderland and then go back up to the North East and watch them fail to do it again. Mm. But I think that the match will follow a similar pattern, and I'm going to go for the draw at half time, full time Chelsea, which is priced up at 16-5. I can see them breaking them down eventually. You know, Chelsea are the second best offensive team away from home, but Newcastle are the fifth best offensive team at home. You know, in terms of shots, on target, it's a little bit further down than that. So I can see them sitting back, giving Chelsea the ball and trying to hit them on the break. And they'll be clinging on to the fact that they haven't conceded a goal in three games and that they've been winning games. So Chelsea to get the job done eventually, I think.
Spread the number of Newcastle fans not wearing the shirt this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be only for the bravest, that, isn't
there? We saw someone tweeting about a Russian game where all the fans were like, had the shirts off and waving them above the head, -5.
Wow,
that's nails, that, isn't it?
But Newcastle, they've been celebrating so much recently, Newcastle fans. Like, you know, when they scored against Burnley, three of them were booked for putting the shirts back on. they are mad, aren't they?
They're made of sterner stuff, I think. Yeah, even compared to Leeds and Liverpool. Costa's back as well, of course. Mm. Which is Matic banned. Cahill's a bit of a doubt for this one, but yeah, they should get back on it.
That's quite big team news though, with Matic being out, because
he is the defensive shield, isn't he?
Fabregas, the engine room, doesn't he?
Yeah, Fabregas has kind of slotted back into that role at times, hasn't he? So maybe he'll go in there. They've got Ramirez to sit in front, I suppose. But yeah, not maybe John Obi Mikel as well. He's still around, isn't he, of course? But yeah, I don't think any of those will do as good a job as Matic does. So I think it'll be an interesting game. But we couldn't have Newcastle. And I think now they've gone. You know, our colleague Ray Drewitt in the office, he's a big Newcastle fan. I asked him about it earlier in the week, and he said, don't be surprised to see all the banners unfurled again. You know,
right,
dusting
straight
them off. It's never gone away. You know, so it's only the media that kind of make out it's gone away, the anti-Pardew thing, because it's not a story when they're winning. When they're not winning, it becomes a story again. And he said that the feeling's exactly the same. They still want rid of him all the way through this good run that they've had.
Right.
So that wouldn't be a big surprise if that all kicks off again.
It's similar at Arsenal as well, isn't it, Derek? That whenever they get a couple of wins, they're told, take the banners down immediately.
Yeah.
Then one loss and they're back up automatically.
That's the fickleness of football fans,
it is.
Isn't it?
Chelsea to win and under 2.5 goals, by the way, 11-5 could be worth
a look
as well.
Yeah.
Manchester City versus Everton is the tea time kickoff on Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Manchester City 8-15, the draw 3-1, and Everton 5-1. Manchester City now won 4 straight in all competitions, and that comeback against Bayern Munich league cannot be understated. Now it served as a catalyst, given that Manuel Pellegrini before that was under serious pressure, but subsequently they've gone and beaten Southampton and Sunderland, each by 3 clear goals as well, and they are heavily reliant on Sergio Aguero, who's now scored more goals in the league than Sunderland, Burnley and Aston Villa this season. He is just absolutely phenomenal, isn't he? 14 goals in the Premier League now.
Brilliant. He was saying to me over dinner on Monday that he's looking forward to this game. Over nice bit of steak. He had pasta. You know, it was nice. It was a nice little dinner date. I don't buy into all this. It's a one-man team thing. They paid for him. They pay his wages. They've brought him along as well. It's not like they should cow down and go, oh, thanks, Sergio, for the goals. He is their player. He does need the rest of the team to also be good to provide the chances. I know he makes quite a few himself.
You're not taking that literally, though, are you? We know he's not a one-man team.
No, but listening to some pundits not too far away from us, you would think that Man City would be relegated if they weren't, if Aguero... I'm not talking about you, Derek, by the way. I'm talking about Robbie. You'd think that Man City would be relegated if Sergio Aguero wasn't in the team. It's not quite that, but he is in unbelievable form. The goals the other night and the overall play and the weekend, he's just phenomenal. Now odds on to be top scorer in the Premier League this season. We said last year the Bayern Munich win, you know, drove them on. They beat Arsenal 6-3, went on that brilliant, or were in the kind of the early stages of that brilliant winning streak, and they look like they're doing it again, don't they? They're a bit short, I think, to back them against Everton, because Everton are a good side. The thing about Everton, though, is, as we all know, they've struggled with the schedule. Now, you listen to what Roberto Martinez was saying after the game against Hull, and he was quite open. He's a very positive manager, and even in his kind of positive terms, he said that they hoped they'd done enough to win the game in the first half. They were fatigued in the second half, and he's basically saying they can't cope with it. you're not going to go to City, and you need to be right at it, pressure for 90 minutes and giving it all. So I think if you don't want to back them at odds on Man City, my angle in would be to go Man City to win and both teams to score. Everton have scored in every away trip so far this season in the Premier League, and we know from City that, you know, they're not exactly watertight, are they? You know, they also failed to keep clean sheets. Only one clean sheet at home, that was against Man United. So I think that's a nice way in for a bigger price and a bit more of an adventurous one. Man City to come from behind and win is something I quite like, because I thought Everton were excellent against Hull again in the early stages. They were so, you know, they're so dynamic, and they've got good strikers up front, people who can score goals. And City, you know, as we saw in midweek, they do, you know, they are susceptible. So Everton to, you know, to get the opening goal and then to eventually lose because of the tiredness setting in is another one that I like. I'm just going to have a look for the price, because I couldn't find it earlier on, but I'll find that it's basically Man City to come from behind and win would be the bet I'd be looking at.
Man City to come from behind and win 11-2.
And then in play, they would never be that price unless Everton took the lead in the 84th minute.
Of course.
So I mean, it's such a big price that, you know, when you look, if Everton score within 10 minutes in play, City would what would it be, about 13-8, maybe even that big?
No, not that big. No. I don't think. So, if they scored early on in the first half. Derek, we've previewed Newcastle versus Chelsea. We've got 2 8-15s here. Yeah. Newcastle, Chelsea away at Newcastle, Man City at home at Everton. Which one's the better, 8-15?
You know what? I was just thinking that before you came to me. Yeah, I would sooner back City at 8-15 in this game than Chelsea, and I'm all over Chelsea as it is. I think City are absolute certainties here, and certainty isn't the word I normally use until it's just won. Lee said Everton were great against Hull. They were for about 20 minutes, yeah, and they got booed off the pitch by their fans.
Terrible at the end, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and this was a whole side that were there for the taking. Yeah.
They allowed Spurs to dominate them as well, Derek. Yeah. Last weekend.
But again, they played well at the they played all right to start with. Again, that's why I'm going for the kind of Everton to come out of the blocks quick and maybe surprise City. But yeah, they're so tired; it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, the only crumb of comfort you can give Everton is that City have got a big game next week in the Champions League, haven't they? At Roma. You know, will they have an eye on that? I'm not sure they will at the moment. They are flying up by a Munich game. It was the catalyst, it seems. I mean, bear in mind though, they've beaten Southampton and Sunderland, the Southampton side that you could see the wheels coming off, and Sunderland, well, you know, the Sunderland. So I wouldn't get too worked up about it, but it's just that guy Aguero. I mean, you know, you give him a chance and you know it's going to go in. He never looks like missing. And we mentioned he was evens or something in midweek, wasn't he, Lee, to score against Wes Brown and John O'Shea.
Yeah, ridiculous, isn't it?
He's 8-11 in this time around. He's got to beat Jagielka and co this time. But, I mean, City will win this. I just think that with him in the team, the way he's playing right now, they're going to score 2 goals a game and someone's going to have to get 3 to beat them.
He never see that. That's the thing about Aguero. Whenever he's in the 18-yard box and he has a shot, he goes in. He's just
that's
clinical.
Right. You know, yeah. When I was chatting to him when he won the award on Monday, it surprised me how small he was. Quite small in stature. Yeah, I thought I could knock him off the ball if I had a game with him.
He was surprised by how big you were.
Yeah,
actually.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Man City 8-15. The draw 3-1. Everton 5-1. Aguero not part of the headline offer. Bookmakers running scared there. Yaya Toure is on the headline offer to score, and Man City to win is 3-1. Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 9-1.
I'd rather have Lukaku to score and Man City to win if I was playing either of those headline offers. I suppose, you know, the whatever we call it these days. Is it the reverse win? The lose cast? It's not called that, is it? But yeah,
the reverse win cast.
I think that's what you call every one of my bets, the lose cast.
What do they call it? Reverse win cast.
Reverse win cast.
Yeah, that's all. The anytime reverse win cast is Lukaku and Man City is 13-2.
Okay. Let's move on to Sunday's televised matches, starting with West Ham versus Swansea. At 1:30 p.m., West Ham 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Swansea 21-10. West Ham fifth in the league, Derek, and they've coped pretty well without their two main strikers. Diafosako and Enner Valencia haven't started for a while. They've also been without the influential Alex Song. They still managed to beat what was an informed Newcastle last weekend and back that up with an away win at West Brom in midweek. They've done well. The Hammers without some of their key personnel.
unbelievably. I mean, there's some West Ham fans dreaming of watching Champions League football next season. As long as they get new tellies for Christmas, I'm guessing. They're not going to stay where they are. I mean, they've done fantastically well, and you know, Allardyce is not my favourite manager, but old Hippo Head has done wonders for them. He's just done. How could you have West Ham in fifth position with almost half a season gone? Incredible, but. There was always going to be a but in this. 7-5 is not giving too much away to beat a Swansea side who are nobody's fools. You know, I'm never prepared to back Swansea at short odds. But when they're around 2-1, I'm always going to give them a chance. And, you know, they've only lost one game in the last five. That was away at Man City, and they give a real good account of themselves, Swansea. I think this could be a wake-up call for West Ham here, you know. I just think that with Swansea play, West Ham might have a few problems with it. I'm going to go for an away win here. I just think West Ham, like Newcastle, like Southampton, you just knew the wheels were going to come off, and it was a question of getting the right time. I think this is the right time for West Ham.
Swansea 21-10 to win the game, Lee. Bold shout from Derek.
Yeah, and I can't have them, I don't think. Not away from home. I've not been impressed with their performances away from home since the trip to Old Trafford. They've not played the easiest of teams. You know, I give you that. You know, Sunderland 0-0 draw was disappointing, but 0-0 draw at Everton, lost to Stoke, lost to Liverpool in the Cup, and lost to Man City. You know, there's no real shame in many of those. But I just wonder if they've got enough. Sacco and Enner Valencia are both back for this game. I thought they might be on the bench because they've had some pretty Sacco in particular had a back injury that he got on international duty, and they reckon the medical treatment he got actually exacerbated the injury, so they weren't happy about that. But if he's playing and he's fit, with Downing obviously playing well, Coate obviously in the team, and Song as well back, and you know, that starts to look like a much better team. The form had started to drift a touch, or the goals at least had. They didn't score against Villa, scored one against Everton, only the one against Newcastle. Did get two in the week against West Brom. But I think with those two spearheading the attack, I think they're a handful for anyone. I'm not sure Swansea will be able to live with them. I'm not confident, and I agree with Derek that 7-5 isn't giving anything away at all. But I can see both teams scoring. So for a bit of extra value, West Ham to win and both teams to score at 15-4. And Sacco 7-5 as well. You got a straight. Do I prefer Sacco to score or West Ham to win? I probably prefer West Ham to win, given that he's been injured for a little while. But I mean, his form beforehand was brilliant, wasn't it? He was ruthless in front of goal. So, yeah, just a boost they need. And although Swansea have got Wilfred Boney, I'm just not sure they've got enough away from home. The one plus for them, by the way, was that Leon Britton came back last game, and just reading a couple of the Swansea City blogs, they thought he did really well, fitted right in. So it might be that Sigurdsson is left out for a bit of a rest, and they play Shelby Key and Britton instead, which would be a bit of a change to the lineup, and I'm not sure that would be a wise thing to do. But yeah, West Ham to win, both teams to score.
Okay, let's look at the 4 p.m. match on Sunday afternoon. Aston Villa versus Leicester. Aston Villa 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Leicester 21-10. And Lee, Villa on a bit of a roll all of a sudden. Yeah. 4 in the Premier League without a defeat, and 1 at Crystal Palace midweek. Seem to have a tendency, Aston Villa, to score and then invite pressure. They did manage to cling on against Crystal Palace midweek, but conceded late goals to both Southampton and Burnley prior to that. The good news for Aston Villa is Leicester rock bottom of the league with just 10 points from 14 matches, still without a win since that 5-3 win against Manchester United at home in September. Any positives with Leicester at the moment?
I spoke to people who went to the QPR game and they said that they were better. They looked, you know, they had a bit more about them. They obviously scored two goals, scored, you know, the opening goal through the Mignolet own goal against Liverpool, but then had Wes Morgan sent off. So, you know, it's kind of one step forward and two back, or maybe three back. The manager having rows with the crowd. You know, last week's phone-in on the BBC, the 606 phone-in, fans were ringing up and saying he was arrogant because he sits in the stand and watches his team. You know, it's getting to that stage where they're just picking on anything.
Yeah.
Nigel Pearson's widely regarded as being a good manager, but we've seen plenty of managers get the teams promoted to the Premier League and then get the sack around this sort of time before it gets too... too deep. I don't think he's the. I don't think he's the favourite in the next manager.
Second favourite he is behind Alan Irvine, 11-4 to be next manager set.
Yeah, which is interesting because you know you've got to remember that these Leicester owners, they want Premier League. They've wanted Premier League football. They've got there. You know, you go to the Far East and there's huge Leicester City club shops everywhere. They're in there. They don't want to be able. Don't want to be giving it away.
So. There's no one ever in them, by the way.
No, there isn't really. So in answer to your question, I think they're slightly improving, but I'm not sure it'll be enough here against Villa. We caught Villa, almost caught them right. We kind of predicted when the rot would stop. Now they stopped the rot. We thought they'd beat Burnley. Well, I did, and went for them as my nap last week. Burnley scored in the 87th minute of that penalty, and then we went back in the midweek podcast through Derek's good advice. You know, asking should you just leave them alone or should you go back in once? And you went back in. I think it was 14-5.
Yes, it was.
Palace, and they got the job done again. And crucially, Benteke scored. Now everything about the stats on this game suggests that it should be really dull and no goals. Aston Villa have got the least number of shots on target at home of any club in the Premier League. Leicester are second bottom of the away stats on that. So obviously you'd have to go for unders on the goals, but I'm not. I'm going to go overs. I think Aston Villa's newfound confidence will make them attack Leicester, and I think they'll go for it. And we've seen from Leicester that if someone comes to attack them, they'll have a go back. So I think Villa win this one, and I think there could be four or more goals in the game as well. I think it could be like another 3-2 or 3-1. I know that sounds ridiculous.
It does.
I've never seen a game more likely to finish unders.
I know. I just got this feeling about it, and I'm going to go with it. Everything I would normally, you know, go with the stats all day long. You know me. I love the stats, but there's just something about this game. I think Benteke, I think they'll have some confidence about them, and they really have to go and attack Leicester here, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to go for, I mean, Villa to win and both teams to score 17-5.
Aston Villa to win in four or more goals in the match, which is what you suggested. Yeah. Second mark it down on the page, 11-2.
Yeah, Aston. I'll take that. Oh, might even be a better way.
Derek.
I don't like the sound of it. He's gone mad. The boy.
He's cracked.
You wait. Let's have a chat again at about 6 o'clock.
How many hours have you spent with Robbie over the course, of your life?
You're going on about statistics there, Phelps. The statistics are these. Villa have scored four goals at home in six or seven games. Leicester have scored three goals away in seven games. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're predicting a goal feast.
Half of those goals came in the last game for Leicester.
You're going on about statistics as well. Statistics you can use to prove anything, even the truth. That's what I've always said. That's what our statistics are like.
Yeah, true.
I never back Villa at short odds, and I never, ever back Leicester, full stop. I mean, Villa will probably win this because Leicester are poor, but I'm not tempted by the odds. They're just too short. But the under 1.5 goals is 9-4. That's for the more intrepid. Under 2.5, which I think is an absolute certainty, is 8-11. I'm going to nail my colours to that mask. No, I won't. I'll go for the 9-4 post because this is going to be 0-0 or 1-0.
Under 1.5 goals for Derek Lee.
Just one other thing, just to back my argument up. Leicester Leicester allow more shots on their goal than any team away from home.
Yeah,
21 shots per game. 21 shots Lee, per game.
73% of statistics are made up on the spot. When you just come out with one there.
Brilliant.
Aston Villa 7-5, the draw 21-10. Leicester in the betting at 21-10.
And Aston Villa allow the third most shots at home.
Let it lie.
Make sure you're both on Twitter after this game, because I'm going to rinse you both.
I'll believe that when I see it. Last televised game this weekend is Monday night, and it's 8 p.m. kickoff. Southampton versus Manchester United. Southampton 17-10, the draw 21-10, and Manchester United 17-10. So inseparable as far as the odds compilers are concerned. Two headline offers here: Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win is 4-1. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 4-1. Derek, we said on last week's punt that this run of fixtures was going to test Southampton, and they failed to make an impact against both Manchester City and Arsenal, losing both without scoring. They did look quite comfortable against Arsenal, though, before they had to play the last 10 minutes with 10 men. So that result against Arsenal may be slightly deceptive.
Well, yeah, I mean, Arsenal weren't very good, but I thought Southampton were worth it. I just didn't see them scoring the goal that night, Saints. And remember, I mentioned last week the 7-1 available for them to not get a single point from these three tough fixtures. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's obviously a 6-4 poke now, isn't it? That's the price for Man United. What a great bet that was, that 7-1, because you could just sense it. You knew that they were getting the publicity they really didn't deserve because the fixture list had gifted them an easy run. And when the going got tough, well, they've just got going home, haven't they, Southampton? I think United 6-4. Yeah, I'm licking my lips. It could be my. I mean, you know what? I like when it comes to United. I hate backing them, but if you're a punter, any winner is welcome, apart from Michael Winner. And I'm going to go for United at 6-4. I think they're real good things here, United.
Okay, Manchester United now 17-10 to.
All right.
To win the game against Southampton. That's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, me going for United.
That is unusual.
Do you know what? Since Derek's come back to the podcast, he's been very pro-Man United.
Yeah, I've been pro-Man United.
What's happened to you while you've been away?
There's one obvious reason that Fergie ain't there anymore.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Was that the hatred was more Fergie than Man United?
Saw that match midweek against Stoke, Derek, and they still looked pretty average, Manchester United. I mean, Ashley Young was the shining light in that team, which tells you all you need to know, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does, really. But, I mean...
Wayne Rooney's back, I suppose.
Well, Rooney's the man, isn't he? And, you know, let's not forget the stick they're getting. You know, they're in fourth position and will stay there. I mean, given the rest of the division is absolutely hopeless. And you just know, you sense there's a lot more to come from United, whereas Southampton, you know, we've seen what they've got, and it ain't that much in my eyes.
But what's happened to Robin van Persie, by the way? They don't even seem to trust him enough to pass him the ball anymore, these Manchester United players.
It's astonishing, isn't it? I mean, you know, I got laughed at by Ron and Robbie a few seasons ago when United bought him. I said, that's Fergie's swan song. He doesn't buy players like van Persie. He's blown at the end of the season because... Van Persie, he's buying him to buy the title, to win the title, because he was at his best then, Van Persie. And that's what happened. Fergie got on his bike afterwards, and maybe that was it for Van Persie. Is he going to come back? I mean, you know, everyone expected Fernando Torres to come back, and he was a lot younger than Van Persie, but I could see he wouldn't. And it's almost the same with the Dutchman now. I can't see anything in his game. In 2 years, his rate of decline, it's almost like Brigitte Bardot-esque. How's he gone down an egg that quick? Yeah, unbelievable.
And he was, you know, the World Cup, he was great. I mean, that header he scored, obviously, and he was, yeah.
The world's most overrated goal, that header.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah.
The goal of the season.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, mate.
I can't believe that. Yeah. Have you seen this week, by the way, there's been a major move for, I think William Hill is still betting on it, a major move on the Puskás Award. BBC put the video on their website, and obviously that must have, like, you know, it was just... Because the BBC are all about pushing women's football, aren't they? Women in sport. Yeah. They've put it on there. Stephanie Roche, isn't it?
Yeah.
100-30 now.
Yeah.
I've not even seen the goal yet.
It's a good goal, but she's played against women defenders. Come on. Terrible defending.
Yeah. I mean, they've only got three in the market here, which is strange.
No, it's down to three.
Oh, has it been reduced
now? They've cut the shortlist down.
And
yeah.
She was in the three?
Yeah, she's one of the three.
Wow. I get it now.
Van Persie's the other one.
I know.
And then there's Rodriguez, who's an absolute certainty. Rodriguez.
It was Rodriguez,
I tell you what, Tim Cahill's goal was better than Van Persie's.
Yeah, I know. Well, then what about the Crystal Palace geezer? What's his name now? The one who scored, Fulham against Palace. Padsim Kasami, was it?
Yeah, that wasn't in the list, though, was it?
It was in the long list.
Oh, was it?
It was in the long list, but not in the short, you know, not in the three-runner thing. Crazy.
I tell you what, that Stephanie Roche, if they continue to bang on about it and there's a major move for it to win, that 100-30 might not be the best worst price in the world.
I'm thinking that because it's a statement, isn't it, from FIFA, that?
Yeah. And you know, and the women's game will get behind that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the best goal, but you know, in these sort of things, when a vote could be manipulated by the public, then and it is being already, then 100-30. You kind of go into the wedding after, what's that phrase? Don't want to go to the funeral after I miss a wedding, or the way around. whatever it is.
If you're not being invited to the wedding, you're not going to the funeral. That's the.
Is that it? Yeah.
You don't get invited anywhere, mate. Come on.
Funeral or wedding?
Yeah, let me just.
Only I've died.
Some of the phones just ringing.
Write that down.
So I just take this call. Serge, how you doing?
That will be long lasting on the pun, won't it? Yeah, 8-11 to score this weekend. And if you're not aware, Derek, these types of markets are these specialities, aren't they? Special markets.
I love special markets that can be manipulated by public votes.
Yep, there you go. What about this game then, Lee? Southampton-Manchester United.
Yeah, interesting one. It's interesting as well because the two managers have got a bit of history, haven't they? They worked together, of course, and were pretty close in the late 90s at Barcelona. There's a great picture of Van Gaal, Koeman and Mourinho. I'm not sure who the other guy is on this picture. I might use that as the picture on the punt this week. But then the relationships went a bit sour at Ajax when they fell out, and they were both working for Ajax, but they fell out, and there's a few pictures kicking around of them basically arguing on the pitch. So I think they'll add a little bit more spice to it. Koeman's pretty honest, isn't he? I mean, he's now said that they need new signings in January, suddenly making a few excuses. Jack Cork, Toby Alderweireld, who went off, of course, at the in the midweek game, which maybe cost him the draw. And Dusan Tadic is the most important one. Have joined Morgan Schneiderlin on the sidelines. They're four big players for them. Jack Cork has routinely been amongst the best rated players for Southampton. Obviously, Tadic has been the fulcrum for their attacking, and Schneiderlin's been their best player this season. So, I think that is a major miss for them. I think they're running empty a little bit as well. I was going to go for the draw, but while Derek's been speaking there, and I was just kind of looking at the website, looking at the page, and Derek was talking, I thought 17-10 for Man United looks massive now. Yeah. All of a sudden, I still do fancy the draw, but I just think with United slowly but surely growing in confidence, then I think they might be all right here. I think they might get the job done. It's just that away form, Dave. Look at it. I mean, it's terrible.
Oh, it's poor.
I mean, the Arsenal win, even that was a bit lucky. Arsenal could have been 3 up at half time, but it's a tentative shout on Man U, but just because of the price, I think I'll go for it. 17-10 at Man United. But,
there's a very attractive woman standing outside our studio, so I've just been momentarily.
Is that Graham there?
In a wig?
That's Robbie.
Momentarily distracted. Okay, both with Manchester United there at 17-10 looks a.
Just.
Looks a good price. Let's move on to the non-televised matches this weekend, starting with Stoke versus Arsenal. Stoke 3-1, the draw 11-5, Arsenal in the betting at even money. This is the bet of the week, this, Lee.
Oh, is it?
Stoke.
You're already in? Yeah.
Stoke 3-1.
Yeah.
You're already declaring now?
I'm declaring before anyone gets there before me.
Wow.
Their record against Arsenal is just fantastic at home. They've won 4, drawn 3, and lost 1 in their last 8 against the Gunners at home. It's perfect matchup because you've got a strong physical side in Stoke against show ponies in Arsenal in many ways. And that game, if you remember that game that they lost as well, they were 1-0 up in that game. Then Aaron Ramsey broke his leg.
Yep.
And that game turned on the back of that one challenge that Shawcross made. They love playing against Arsenal as well because the Arsenal fans give Shawcross so much abuse for that the misfortune of being involved in that tackle. I like this, Stoke. What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, they're not great at home, though. All those results have all been when they've been a home team. And now they're more of an away team. Lost to Southampton in the Cup, drew with West Ham, lost to Burnley at home in the last home game. The problem is that they want to hit you on the break, and I think they'll try and do that against Arsenal. Just going back to the stats again, the third in the shots on goal, 19 shots per game on goal, Stoke. It doesn't sound very Stoke, does it, from previous seasons? And I think if Arsenal were better finishers, I'd go for Arsenal here. But I just worry that they'll get chances on the break against Stoke, but they won't take them. I'm a bit stuck with this, really, because I think Arsenal might win it, but I can't back them at even money. Stoke at 3-1. Do you know what? I might just go for the draw, 11-5.
Arsenal, not got a big opinion on this game, then.
Well,
really.
It's just I don't agree that Stoker is as nailed on as you two obviously do, but I can't back Arsenal at the price, so it's just leading me to the draw.
Derek's not said anything yet.
Yeah, but I think
I am not saying they're nailed on. That would be daft to say they're nailed on. No. But there's no way should they be 3-1. I mean, you know what? Seriously, given that record and the way after watching Arsenal the other night, if this was a 6-4 match, it wouldn't have surprised me.
Yeah,
I mean, Stoker 3-1, and I think they're going to win. I honestly do think they're going to win. I just can't have Arsenal at any price. I don't see anything. Take Sanchez out of that team, and I just don't see anything there.
That'd probably be my favourite bet, actually, him to score.
Yeah,
6-4.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's probably behind Aguero.
Yeah, I mean, in Arsenal's defence, they haven't conceded a goal in the last three.
They have tightened right up, haven't they?
Yeah, I was
looking at low scoring, Derek. One of my first thoughts in it was that it was going to be low scoring, but I mean, Stoke have been scoring goals at home.
Yeah. Well, Arsenal's last five Premier League games have been 0-0 at half time. They've obviously changed their tack, haven't they? I mean, that could be worth a shout.
That could be.
But I think Stoke 3-1 are way too big, and it's a bit like when they went to Spurs, wasn't it? They were 9-2. They were just too big that day as well. And they are here. I'm with Dave here. Stoke for me.
Stoke 3-1. The draw 11-5, and Arsenal even money. Tottenham Crystal Palace next. Tottenham 6-10. The draw 13-5. Crystal Palace in the betting at 5-1. Tottenham, they need to bounce back, Derek, from that disappointing loss against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. They probably went there expecting to lose, but that early promise dissipated quickly. They were put in their place by Chelsea.
They were given a smack bum and put to bed, weren't they? They really were. Tottenham, I did just do my head in this season. They've got to win this, haven't they?
It's almost 1-2 on Tottenham, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. But Palace, you see, this is a match. Surely you shouldn't get matches where you think both sides are criminally underpriced. And yeah, this is that one. I can't explain that. I just hate this fixture. I'm going to have to go for Tottenham because they've got to beat Palace. Sorry.
Mile Jedinak might be an interesting way in here. He scored three of Crystal Palace's last six Premier League goals. He's 11-2 to score any time. He gets on pens. He's part of the headline offer as well, Lee.
Lee mentioned this in midweek, didn't you, Lee? You were going big on Jedinak.
Seventh best player according to who scored in the Premier League.
Is he really?
Yeah, he does. I mean, to be fair to him, he is. And Palace's form has picked up since he came back into the team. He was banned, of course. Comes back into the team and suddenly they start getting some results. When Palace score, I mean, this is going to sound pretty obvious, but when they score away from home, they tend to get results. You know, they beat Everton 3-2, remember? They drew 2-2 at West Brom, drew 1-1 at Swansea. Hull and Man United have kept them to nil. The only game they've lost having scored was the game at Arsenal. I remember them being unlucky against Arsenal as well, right at the start of the season. 3-3 against Newcastle. So once they get going, and if the home team allows them to play and to score, then I think they can get something out of a game. Tottenham, that home form has been poor, hasn't it? You know, you look at the Premier League form. They beat Everton, which was decent. I owed more to Everton being fatigued than Tottenham being brilliant. Lost to Stoke 2-1. Lost to Newcastle. Beat Southampton, which is the only clean sheet they've had in the last five since beating QPR on the opening day. I think Tottenham will attack Palace, and I think Palace might have the pace to get a goal against them. I think there are some signs of Tottenham improving. I think, you know, the fact that, you know, Harry Kane still going well, could have scored before Chelsea won 3. When they had a good 18, 20 minutes, didn't they, Tottenham against Chelsea? And they looked really dynamic and they were going forward and he hit the bar, and then, you know, Chelsea just kind of put them in the place, as Derek said. Draw both teams to score? I agree with Derek. Can't have Palace, can't have Tottenham. So draw and both teams to score for me.
18-5 for the draw and both teams
Terrible
to score.
Terrible result for Tottenham if they don't beat them, though.
Yes, it is. Tottenham 6-10 to win the game. The draw 13-5. Crystal Palace in the market at 5-1.
One of the goal scorers, Eriksen, scored against them in the 2-0 win last year. They beat them both times, 2-0 and 1-0. He's 13-8 to score here. And Roberto Soldado scored in the 1-0 win against them last year. He's just scored, hasn't he? So maybe if like London buses...
He has, but then he was benched, wasn't he?
Yeah. It's 11-10 anyway. You can't have him at 11-10. But I think Christian Eriksen at 13-8 is not a bad bet.
I was surprised by that, Derek. I suppose it's tough for Pochettino because you can't really go to Chelsea with two strikers, can you? And Harry Kane, given the form that he's in, maybe had to start. But Soldado having scored and then everyone was making a big deal about him scoring, then to be bench for the next game, can't be good for him.
No, a kick in the teeth big time, wasn't it? And he'd probably get a few of them against Palace. I'm not a big fan of Harry Kane, but Tottenham fans are, and he must be doing something that I'm not seeing. He the man of the match, I think it was last week for them against Everton. So I'll reserve judgment on him, but Soldano doesn't... Yeah, when you get a goal as a striker, it does wonders for your confidence, but he's been around at Tottenham for a while now, and he's, you know, he hasn't done it, has he?
Hull, West Brom. Hull 6-4. The draw 2-1. West Brom 2-1. Lee, two of the most out of form teams in the Premier League. They've only picked up 1 point between them in their last four games apiece, and you've got to go back to early October for Hull's last win in the league. Did get a good point at Goodison in midweek though, and
yeah,
I mean, West Brom at the moment, they've scored 5 goals in their last 11 Premier League games on the road.
Yeah.
Never more than once in that run. And Berahino's gone 436 minutes without a goal in the Premier League now.
Derek hates it when you do that. Just like I tell you, he hates you hate that, don't you, Derek?
Yeah, but
you need to see, you need to work it out and say how many games it is.
It never sounds as long as when you just say six games or whatever.
It's,
you know what I mean?
It's four and a bit games. Yeah. I'm doing maths on the spot here. It's almost 5 games he's gone.
That sounds longer to me
without a goal in the Premier League.
Whatever.
Do you think?
Yeah.
No, I think 436 minutes sounds like he's been playing forever.
Anyway, well, you get that in added Fergie time when
he's not even in the game anymore and you're still giving him stick, the poor man.
The feeling is West Brom can't score if he doesn't, basically, Lee.
Yeah, definitely. And we spoke last week about maybe the reasons why he's dried up a little bit with his trouble with the law and all the rest of it. So yeah, I don't see them improving at all, really. You summed it up perfectly in the intro, the lack of goals. I mean, Hull aren't scoring loads, are they? But I think that will have given them some confidence. You know, the draw at Everton. It's a tricky one, this, isn't it? 6-4, Hull. I mean, that's just crazy, isn't it? Absolutely mad. I can't go for Hull at 6-4 in any game, I don't think. So I think I'll just have to go on a goals bet. You'd imagine it'd be low on the goals. You know, you imagine both teams would set up to kind of thwart the other. I just think when West Brom aren't playing well, they're very weak in midfield. So I'm going to go for Hull to win this game. I think both teams could score in it though, despite the lack of goal power. You know, West Brom didn't score against Chelsea, but that's no shame. They scored against Leicester, scored against Bournemouth in the League Cup, scored against Liverpool, scored against Tottenham. These are all away from home, so you know they are capable of getting one. I think Hull could win this 2-1. Because it's such a lame game, I'm going to go Hull 2-1, 17-2.
Okay,
I never go correct scores.
No, there you go. Hull 2-1, 17-2. Derek.
Oh, yeah, it's a real tough one to call. I mean, if there's going to be a winner, in my eyes, it'll be Hull. Has West Brom back of 4 straight defeats, fans turning on the manager. He was only given a 12-month contract, wasn't he, Alan Irvine? So it shows you how much faith the board had in him. Too much, by the looks of things. I'm going to go for Hull here. I just think, you know, I said in midweek when I tipped them to get something at Everton, nobody else did, I did, that, you know, there's more to come from them. I just look at their squad and I think they're underperforming right now, and that won't last for the season. If it did, you know, Bruce would have to go. I think Hull will win this. I've lost faith in West Brom. I've gone for them a couple of times this season and they just haven't looked a team. It's not the greatest price in the world. I agree with you, Lee, Hull 6-4, but a match between two out-of-form, out-of-confidence teams, I think Hull have got a little bit more behind them. For me, the home win.
And the last time West Brom lost 4 games in a row in the Premier League, they sacked the manager.
Who was that?
Steve Clarke.
Oh, right.
Back in December 2013. So if they go 5 straight losses, Alan Irvine's time could be up.
Well, yeah. One thing I've been looking at this season, you know, obviously in the Premier League, you need top fitness. Most of your hair managers and players speak, and fitness is paramount. It doesn't get spoken about that much in the media. So I've been trying to keep an eye on you know, the fitness. You know, there's so many websites about. Now West Brom made a big thing about using the last but one international break to get some fitness, and they improved. I don't think they're the sort of team who can maintain that though. And, you know, now they've got this. You know, obviously we've got a really run of games through the festive season. Which has kind of started already with the midweek Premier League game, and I think we're going to see them tail. You know, even they're not great now, but I think we're going to see them tail off in games. So in play, I think they might struggle in the last half an hour of games. So it might be worth looking to oppose them in that respect.
You know, you mentioned that, Lee, and to the average football fan, I can't believe that one team is fitter than another.
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
These are players at the top of the tree. You know, it's like saying, well, you know, he's a professional dancer, or she's a professional dancer, and they can't do the tango or something. It's madness.
It is. But then Harry Redknapp came out and said his team wasn't fit. I mean, what are they doing pre-season?
Well, whose fault is that then?
Exactly. I mean, you know, even Martinez saying it. I mean, Everton fans are saying that that would never have happened under Moyes. You know, whatever Moyes, whatever you say about Moyes after his Man United debacle, he always had his teams fit. They always finished strong. Man United, you know, they play midweek and weekend. They made a habit of scoring late goals, didn't they? Yeah, that's just down to fitness and concentration, nothing else.
Exactly.
You only need to drop off a percentage point in the Premier League to open yourself up. And I think we're seeing signs of that with West Brom, and they're a bit weak. They're a bit powder puff in midfield, I think. So,
penultimate game this weekend is Liverpool versus Sunderland. Liverpool 1-2, the draw 3-1, Sunderland 6-1. Derek, back-to-back Premier League wins for Liverpool.
Yeah.
But people... once again, talking
Rodgers
about
in. Rodgers in.
People talking about Mario Balotelli's latest contribution following his questionable Instagram post. It's as if Derek, he looks through the papers, doesn't see his name in there, and thinks, "This isn't right.
Yeah.
I must do something immediately."
Should just put him in "I'm a Celebrity." He'd be right now,
wouldn't he? Funnily enough, you know, I mentioned that earlier this week. Wouldn't he be fantastic on there?
Man,
oh, he'd be any of those reality TV programs. He would just be incredible.
Yeah, he would.
Well, he won't be getting a game here, will he? I mean, I don't know whether he's about his injury bulletins, but
I don't think he's fit, is he?
No, Liverpool are a much better team without him. And you know, there was a lot to like about what they did against Leicester. Okay, it was only Leicester. And they struggled to beat Stoke in week. So I'm not saying Liverpool are back. And I won't be backing them at 8-15. Given that what Sunderland did at against Chelsea, and I can see them going to Liverpool and doing exactly the same thing, making it hard for Liverpool to break them down. And at the moment, you can't see Liverpool breaking teams down unless they come at them. So I can see, you know what, I can actually see a 0-0 here. I'm going to go for a no-goal scorer bet here. You don't get that many in the Premier League, but this is nailed on for one.
19-2 for no scorer in this game. Lee?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I do think that we're starting to see signs of them coming back. I think the same with Man United. Obviously, Man United have been in decent form. Well, they've been picking up wins anyway for a few weeks. But I think, you know, we'll maybe start to see over the next couple of weeks the likes of Liverpool, Man United, maybe even Tottenham. Obviously, we've seen City do it. All start to hit a little bit of form as the stronger squads and, you know, you would imagine the fitter teams start to, you know, push forward through the Christmas period. And I think this is a good game for Liverpool, but I do agree with Derek. I think Sunderland will do exactly what we've seen them do. Why would they not do that? It seemed obvious, doesn't it? And I think they'll keep it tight till half-time at least. And Liverpool may win this 1-0 late on. I think there's a little bit more about them. You know, Gerrard seems, you know, like a different player. Rarely scores goals from open play these days, but obviously got one. Lallana obviously scoring as well. Lambert's, you know, finally been given a chance. He may not be a Liverpool player or a Liverpool quality player, but you know, I think he's the best they've got at the moment. So I'm going to go draw half-time, full-time Liverpool at 16-5.
Okay, final match this weekend, QPR versus Burnley. We don't believe in saving the best to last here on the podcast. QPR 11-10, the draw 9-4, and Burnley 13-5. Lee, both these teams in the relegation zone at the moment, with Burnley just a point ahead of QPR. QPR are a much better side at Loftus Road, though, and that's something that I suppose you've got to take into account here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, 3-2 win over Leicester, 2-2 against City, 2-0 against Aston Villa. Lost 3-2 to Liverpool, but were unlucky, remember. 2-2 against Stoke, beat Sunderland 1-0. So, you know, it's when you look at it as, you know, as a sequence of results, it's not bad, and they don't have to score some goals. You know, as I was listening there, you know, at least 2 goals in every home game since the 1-0 win over Sunderland. So, yeah, I think they're decent. Burnley obviously have started to score some goals now. I think the fact that they're off the mark and they're going, I think will give Burnley quite a lot of confidence. You know, that they're
unbeaten in 4 now, aren't
they? Yeah, and you know, in the Championship, that the whole game was built around, you know, high pressure, getting the ball off the opposition and hitting the opposition quick. I think that will, you know, it'll make this more of an entertaining game than we're probably giving it credit for. I'm going to go for another high scorer here. I think this could be another decent game involving QPR. You know, both teams have got to go for it. You know, both will see this as a game that is winnable rather than fearing it, I think. So I think, you know, in terms of overs on the goals, over 2.5 is 11-10. I think that's a really nice price. I think there could be over 3.5 at 11-4, but just because I'm a Colin Cautious, then I'll go for over 2.5 at 11-10.
Derek, I'm not saying there's any correlation here, but the run coincides with Lee a month ago saying that he wouldn't be surprised if Burnley didn't win a game all season.
Yeah.
They've now gone 4 unbeaten.
I can't help it if Sean Dyche puts the podcast on in the dressing room, can I? The players listen to it and that's what motivates them. I'm just here to provide a service. Look what happened to Sergio Aguero after I had dinner with him. turn into a great player.
Correct. I mean, the QPR are one of those teams that I don't think I've ever known a side in the top flight where you can home and away form is so vastly different. I mean, you know, you've already outlined their home form. It's fantastic. In fact, their home record is identical to Liverpool's: 3 wins, 2 draws, and 2 defeats in 7 matches. But they scored considerably more goals than Liverpool in that spell. They're a totally different animal at Loftus Road. I mentioned it in midweek. Harry Redknapp a few weeks ago was saying, well, the reason we're not doing so badly away from home is away from home in the Premier League, you've got to have pace to counter-attack, and we don't have that. You know, that's a big reason there, right there, not to back QPR away from home again this season until they make some signings. But at home, I think they're being underpriced here, you know. I know they're only 11-10, but I think they'll win, and they'll win well. And I agree with Lee. I think there could be a few goals in this game, but I'm going for QPR here. I mean, Burnley's run, yeah, OK, unbeaten in 4. That's great in the Premier League. But the results have come against Hull, Stoke, Villa and Newcastle. OK, you could probably bracket QPR in that kind of team, in that category. Mm. But, you know, yeah, you're not getting any value, I don't think, in Burnley to win this one. Especially as they'll see a draw is a great result. But QPR, for me, I think they're a different animal at Loftus Road.
Okay, QPR to win the game at 11-10. Time for the naps then. I've stolen Stoke 3-1, basically, because if I've got two thoughts
first,
in here,
you're going first, aren't you?
I'm going first here.
Thanks for telling us.
3-1.
Doesn't say
Stoke.
Hello to us at the start,
and then nicks the nap. Because of that, Derek, you can go second.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Man United 17-10.
Okay, is that the first time you've ever napped them on the podcast?
Yeah, I think it might be.
I think you've done it before, to be honest.
17-10 Manchester United. Lee?
I think it's a really good coupon this week. I think there are loads of bets that I like. Quite a lot of big prices, you know, that I like. But I'm going to go for a shorter one, and it's the over 2.5 goals.
Go on, Colin.
Last game that we had a bet, we talked about QPR versus Burnley. Just to add to it all, you know, Burnley got the second worst away stats percentage in terms of shots on goal. So they allow the opposition more, almost as many shots as anyone in the division. And QPR are a second only to Arsenal in terms of shots on goal at home. So I think QPR, like Derek said, will win and win well. If you're not a cautious Colin, then QPR to win and over 2.5 goals would be the bet, I think, here. But I'm just going to go for over 2.5 since it's a nap.
Okay, 21.68-1 this treble. Stoke to win at home against Arsenal 3-1. Manchester United to go to Southampton and win at 17-10. Over 2.5 goals in the QPR Burnley game, 11-10.
Tell you what,
21-1.
That's worth 10p, isn't it? I think that is
definitely
worth. That's worth 10p.
It's worth it. It might be worth a couple of quid. Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you to you, Colin, as well. And we'll be back on the Pump Podcast next weekend. Thanks to you for listening. Remember, you can download this via Audio Boom as well. Go to audioboom.com and, of course, via iTunes. And we'll speak again very, very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.